Bank, and I'm privileged to have you on this year. At this time, it's a real privilege for me personally to introduce Rabbi Kalbis. Rabbi Kalbis serves as the Rosh Yeshiva, as the Rosh Yeshiva in our Yeshiva, and also the Rav in Congregation Zichron Mordechai and Tinek. Rabbi Kalbis is really a rabbinic pillar of the Tinek community, and is sought out for his humble leadership, his wisdom, and insight by countless Rabbanim, Talmidim, and community members. On a personal level, Rabbi Kalbis has been a source for myself of guidance and support, myself and my family, and certainly for countless other individuals and families as well. Rabbi Kalbis's shiurim are known to be incredibly clear and fully comprehensive of the topic at hand. As recently as last week, I myself was preparing a shiur on Mishloach Manos, and I looked up to see which shiurim Rabbi had, and really gave me everything that I needed, plus a lot more, to prepare the shiur that I was delivering. And today, Rabbi Kalbis will be addressing the topic of the status of the Chereish and the developmentally disabled in Halacha. And Rabbi Kalbis, together with his wife, has really done tremendous work in this department within our community to raise awareness and education and integrate individuals with disabilities. And it's a real schus to hear from Rabbi Kalbis address this topic today.
Thank you very much, and thank you for the kind words. I hope I'm not, if I'm sitting down, somebody asked me to present it on Zoom. So they may want to see me. I don't know. So that's why I'm sitting up. It's okay. It's a small crowd anyway. So I think we're okay. I just want to say to the audience, we're obviously not going to be able to cover everything that's in the package. You're welcome to keep them for future reference and to look up additional sources if you so desire. The topic basically is categorizing mental and developmental disabilities in Halacha. The point of departure, since the Yeshiva Torah Maseches Gittin this year, is a mission, the first source. The Mishnah states in Gittin, Dav Chof Beis Mabeis, a cold cherry lift of Zagat, a filo cherry shot of cotton. Anybody can write a get, even a person who's a cherish will have to define that, a shota will have to define that too. A cotton means a minor. That's, we're not going to talk about that today. A minor means somebody under the age of bar mitzvah, or for a girl, under the age of bas mitzvah. And the Gemara explains why. So if you look in the Gemara on Chav Beis and Beis, the third source, going over to Chav Gimel and Aleph, the Gemara wonders why these people should be kosher to write a get. After all, and it's a key phrase for us, halav b'nei dea minu. They don't have sufficient knowledge. They're not knowledgeable. They don't have sufficient understanding. Okay, so how can it be that a person who's a cherish and a shota, as we're talking on today, but the cotton also, doesn't have, at a young age, sufficient mental ability, sufficient understanding to be able to do what a get requires? The Gemara says, Omar Hun, on the very top of Chav Gimel and Aleph in Source 3, Hushagar Omid al Gabav, that's provided an adult who is knowledgeable and does have full mental capacity standing there to make sure that everything is being done properly. What does it mean? Rashi on Chav Beis and Beis on the bottom of the page in Source 4 says, Malav b'nei de'aninu v'lo yedu lichtov lishma. There's a rule by Gittin, it's not our topic now, but there is a rule by Get that a Get has to be written lishma. You can't just buy, let's say a person is getting married, so you can go to the store, the Judaica, the local Judaica store, and purchase a ksuba. It doesn't have to be written specifically for this chos and this kalah. They leave it, write out most of the text, and then the rabbi, whoever is in charge of the ksuba, will fill in the missing names or the location and the date. That's not so with a get. The get has to be written, the shema has to be written directly for the purpose of this particular groom and this particular bride, this man, this woman, will get a divorce. So the concern is that somebody doesn't have, who lacks requisite intellectual maturity or lacks requisite intellectual understanding, will not understand what it means to write a get lishma, to write a get for that purpose. Therefore, the get will not be valid unless there's somebody who's standing there who's going to guide him. That's the next Rashi 5 of Gimel and Aleph. Writing it, write this get, tells this person, write the get for the purpose of such and such a man who's divorcing such and such a woman, and so on. Okay, that's according to the opinion the Mishnah requires a ksiva lishma, and so on. That's how the Rambam paskens. Look in source 6, Hilchos Gerushin, Perek Gimel, Halacha Tesha, Al Kol Ksherin, Lichtov es haget. Rambam writes chutz, with the exception of a handful of people, okay, 5 people, for our purposes, 2 of the 5 are the Cheresh and the Shota. And Halacha Tezvav, the Rambam says, Lama, why can't these people write a get? He says, like we explained, because the get has to be written specifically for this man who's divorcing this woman. And we're afraid that this person, the Cheresh and the Shota, they don't have the sufficient or the requisite intellectual maturity to be able to understand exactly what they're doing here. But the Rambam writes, like we saw in the Mishnah and the Gemara, that if there's a gadol, there's a regular adult who is of sufficient age and sufficient mental understanding to supervise, then it's okay. And the same thing appears in Shulchan Aruch, in Ebenezer, in Kuf Chav Gimel, Tifalav HaKol Ksherin Lichtov, the Get Chutz except the following people can't write, including a cheresh and a shoter. So if Gimel, if one of those people, Taka wrote the get, ain't no get, the get is not considered to be valid. But in Sif Dalet, if somebody is an adult who's supervising, go to Omen Al Gaba, it's okay. So we need to understand that. So what is a cheresh, shoter, and a cotton? So cotton, we know what it is. Cotton is a man, a boy, a young man under the age of bar mitzvah, and a tana is a girl under the age of bas mitzvah. So that's not our topic today. The question is, what exactly is a cheresh and a shoter? It doesn't exactly explain it. There is a Mishnah in the beginning of Maseches Chagiga. Maseches Chagiga, at the beginning of the Mishnah, that Beis Manav talks about the Mishnah, the mitzvah, to be olal regel. And every Jew 3 times a year had to come. We just explained it yesterday, Sedrin Kisisa, one of the places mentioned in Chumash, that a Jew has to come every year to 3 times a year to the Beis HaMikdash. Which, how, who, who's chayav in that mitzvah? So the Mishnah, and they have to bring what's called the Korban Chagiga, other Korbanos. So the Mishnah says in Chagiga, Beis HaMikdash, source number 8, HaKol Chayav Beriyah, every Jew, Shalosh Pam Vashon, we read yesterday, Shalosh Pam Vashon Yeroah, right, every 3 times a year, every Jew has to see and be seen in the Makom Mikdash, in Yerushalayim, in the Beis HaMikdash. Everyone's chayav chutz mecheresh shoter katan. Again, cheresh and shoter excluded from that mitzvah. And Rashi explains the Erech Chagiga Beis HaMikdash, because in general, right, explains we're talking about the mitzvah of Yerah Kol Zechurcha, but chutz mecheresh shoter katan, the second Rashi in line, Beis HaMikdash Chagiga, it says, Delav b'nei adeya ninu. Because again, they're not b'nei deya, they're not considered to be sufficiently intellectually mature to understand fully what they're doing, and therefore, upatur in the mitzvahs. They're exempt in general from mitzvahs, not just these mitzvahs of being all the regal, but they're exempt from mitzvahs in general. And in commenting on that mitzvah, the Gemara in Chagiga, based on Beis HaMikdash 10, says, HaKol Chayim Beriyah B'Simcha, that's one of the other mitzvahs of the Shalosh Regalim Simcha, Chutz Micheresh HaMedaber Ve'Ein HaShomeh, the different types. Types of cheresh. Here we begin to get a picture. What's the cheresh? The one is amedaber ve'enam shomeh. He can speak, but he can't hear. That person's deaf. Okay, he can speak, but he, or shomeh ve'enam medaber. Sometimes a person can speak, can hear, but he can't speak. Shapotim in ariyah. Okay, and such a person's, even though it's potim in ariyah, that's a technicality, but chayv besimcha. But then he writes, in the second line of 10, the Gemara says, chachiga gebeiz mebeiz, that she'ena lo shomeh ve'lo medaber, person who can neither hear nor speak. And it was assumed at that time, it'll come later, what about today, but assumed at that time, the person could not be educated, person could not know anything. They can't hear, they can't speak. There's no way to communicate with that person. There's no way for that person to communicate with anybody else. So that's a person who is in the category of what Chazal called a cheresh. And similarly, a shota is potter, because ho'el uptur mikol ha-mitzvahs ha-mors b'torah. Such a person exempt, a cheresh and shoter exempt from all the mitzvahs in the Torah. The Rambam passed this way, Hilchos Chagiga, Perek Bez, Halacha Dalet, in Source 11. Kol Achai B'Riyah Chai V'Chagiga, he mentioned that parallel, and again, Chutz Shem Cheresh Shoter Kotten, Mipnei She'enon B'nei Chiyav, Ba'arei Heim Petur, Mikol Mitzvahs Amors B'Torah. So that's Halacha. Such a person is exempt from all the mitzvahs in the Torah. What type of cheresh exactly we're talking about? A modern Hebrew cheresh means somebody who's deaf. But the Mishnah in Trumas and Perek Aleph, Mishnah Beis, in Source 12, on the top of the next page, says, Cheresh Shedibur B'chachomim B'chol Mokom She'en Alo Shomeh V'lo Medaber. The Cheresh that the Chazal are talking about in all these places is Lo'eno Lo Shomeh V'lo Medaber. Can neither hear nor speak. And again, the assumption being, there's no way to communicate with that person. There's no way. No way to have sign language and different things like we have today. We'll come to that. But at that time, this person was assumed to be a cheresh, was assumed to be uneducable, and therefore couldn't be expected to have any knowledge or understanding of anything. Not his fault. Pastor Shalom, not punished, and not to, just exempt from the mitzvah. Not a person unable to do it, unable to be taught. Okay, both the Bar Tanura in Source 13 on that mission, Truman's Parakalab of Mishnah Beis, and the Tiferes Yisrael in that mission in those tests, says it doesn't mean all place means row. It says Lav Kola, the Bar Tanura says, and the Tiferes says row, Mekomas. Okay, but most places, that's what a cheresh means. And the Prima Gaudim explains, the Prima Gaudim wrote a general introduction, this comment on the Shulchan Aruch called the Psicha Koleles, the general introduction. We have a lot of general dinim about who's chayav and mitzvahs in general. Before, he has introductions to various other sections too. His introduction to the Shabbat, introduction to other dinim, but the general, the Psicha Koleles means the general introduction to the Prima Gaudim's concept, a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. So Psicha Koleles in Chelek Beis, I'll say, Claude de Milsa, the general rule is Stam Cheresh Hamuskar Eitzel Shota. Whenever you see Cheresh and Shota lumped together, as they do in a number of places, we just saw one in the Chagiga, we'll see others. When a Cheresh and Shota lumped together, it means She'en Shomeh Ve'en Medaber. It's considered like a Shota. Shota again means somebody who's deranged, doesn't have his full faculties about him or her, and so on, and simply again assumed to be uneducable in the classic sense. In the Rambam, asking the Nuchus Ishus Park Bays, Allah Chav of 16, Harish Achars Amor Bechol Mokom, Heina Ilmim Shein Shomayim Ve'em Nedabrim. The deaf mute would say, can't speak, can't hear. Okay, but he distinguishes someone who can speak, but he can't hear, or vice versa, then he can be educated. There are ways to reach such a person, therefore, Haru Kechol Adam. And he says, in general, a person is called a Pikeach if you can do all the things that are normally. Rashi in the Gemara Nida Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis quotes this Mishnah in Trumas, and Rashi says, "B'chol Mokom La Hotzi Michlal Ben Daz." Such a person is not called a Ben Daz, have sufficient understanding, be obligated in mitzvahs. Now, there is, however, a different Rashi, a commentary in Rashi in Yevamos, the Gemara in Yevamos Kuf Yud Gimel Aleph 18 says, talking about the mitzvah of Truma, again, the Rabbi Yitzchak Omer Shumah Velazir, Truma Scherish Lotzei Seichulim. If a Cherish separates Truma, You can't just disregard it and pretend nothing happened. It's Yotzei L'chulim, means anybody can eat it. It's a question. And the Gemara is, why is that so? I thought he's not chayav in mitzvahs. What should his action count for anything? So the Gemara says, Mifshe Pshitalei, the Cherish, Daita Kalishtohu. Daita Kalishtohu. Rashi explains in Source 19, Yevamos Kuf Yud Gimel Aleph Aleph, Kalishtohu, Daka, Klomar, Data Mu'etis. His knowledge, his understanding is limited. That's a little different. Doesn't mean he has no knowledge, no understanding. His da'as is limited. She'ena mechud, he's not sharp enough, lahavin kishar b'nei adam, to understand things the way an average person understands things. Question is, maybe that little da'as that he does have was enough for the purpose of truma, right? Maybe it should count. That's why, and therefore his kavanah does count. So that already opens the door to saying that sometimes you can have a person who has limited knowledge, limited intellectual ability, but not zero. That again, you know, that's going to open the door to some discussion. The Rambam in Hilchos Eidus, Erek Tesa Lokiyin Aleph, source number 20, the Rambam says, Cheresh Keshota She'ein Daito Nechona Ve'ena Ben Mitzvahs. Okay, again, a Cheresh means he's impaired intellectually. The Rambam doesn't make this chiluk, we'll have to see. Okay, but that's what the Rambam says, and we assume that the person is Ein Daito Nechona. His or her, his knowledge is not sufficient, is not normal, and therefore is exempt from mitzvahs. The Rambam goes on, but that's what we need for right now in terms of Hilchos Eidus. The Prima Gadim, in that same Psicha Kolelas, in Chelek Beis and Os Aleph, he says there are different types of Cheresh, but Eino Shomea, the Eino Medaber, who showed to the whole world, like a mentally imbalanced or deranged person, what purpose of the question?
You should repeat both the Rambam significant and the Eidus.
Well, right, he's not, he just doesn't say. He just says, now we're going to see. So he doesn't really, okay, but what he does say is he says, but pay attention in 20, it's in Hilchos Eidus. So we'll see later, maybe Hilchos Eidus is different. So hold the thought, don't mind, hold the thought a little bit. But that's the Rambam. Okay, but the Prima Gadim says in that same Pesach Kolelis, someone who's Eino Shomei Ve'Eino Medaber is like a Shotan, even Rabban Yer Potter, and so on. Some Sofer has a tshuva in this subject, and Chelek Eben Ezra, Simon Beis, Source 22, he says as follows. His intelligence is not clear, okay? And he doesn't even have any clarity of thought. Doesn't do anything deranged, doesn't engage in any bizarre behavior, doesn't do anything which outwardly strikes us as unusual behavior. He simply sits and, you know, and Hadvarma Sosim doesn't understand why this is the opposite of that, or why this is incomprehensible compared to that. He doesn't see the distinction between things. It's a Hari Pasul and a Torah Cholmili. And he says sometimes you have a third one called a Pesoyim. Pesoyim means someone who literally means someone's like foolish. Okay, Shomer Pesoyim Hashem, right? But Pesoyim Agurum in a Cherish on the Aim Pesoyim Shum Chasrei Deah. Again, they're lacking full understanding. And those people, since they're in most ways they're have a lack of understanding, but in some ways they do have understanding. So in those areas we can consider their actions to be somewhat significant. Okay. But that's how the Chassam Sofer also discussed separating between what's called a Pesi, who is a weaker intelligence but does have some clarity of thought, but some of the Cheresh doesn't seem to have any clarity of thought. Seems to me that in assessing using some modern technology, there are people, and let me give full disclosure. I have a son, we'll come to that in a moment. I have a son who was autism, okay, my youngest son. And one thing we learned over the years, Rosh is a beautiful young man, but one thing we learned over the years is that there's a huge, huge spectrum. even call it the spectrum, because it's a huge spectrum. So it's really, I'm only here to give you, to point you to some chazal. You know, if you're interested in discussing me further or looking up further, you know, please feel free to keep the sheets and investigate further in the Makaros. I'm just trying to give a general overview. But there's a wide, wide range. But just in terms of defining Cheresh, it would seem, you know, that at least certain people have what we call today Down syndrome, okay, which we call the mental retardation, okay, that kind of thing, that would seem to be in the category of Cheresh, okay, especially if you can't talk. There are people who have those kinds of can't talk. There are people who talk well. If some of them will talk, it's difficult to understand them and so on, or they can't really communicate. But someone who I think someone who has Down syndrome would be in the category of a Cheresh, again, depending upon the severity of the condition, as we already saw some gradations, but I think that would be in terms of a Cheresh. What's a Shota? How do we define a Shota? Yeah.
So that's primarily because of communication?
Well, that's what it looks like, but the communication then resulting in the lack of being able to be educated. You can't communicate with him. I say him, but it's him or her. It doesn't matter. You can't communicate with that individual. That individual can't communicate. The assumption is they can be educated. As we shall see a little bit later, today there are much more modern ways of figuring out how to communicate and teach them to communicate. So it could well be, we'll see a tshuva from one of the sons of Chassam Sofer back in the 1800s yet. We already wrote, we'll see. We'll see a little bit about it a little bit later. Okay. But at this point. Okay. In terms of a shota, so it's interesting because the Yerushalmi in Chagiga says a shota, the mission, we saw the mission before, the mission that we started with in Chagiga Beis Malach from Source 8, that says a shota is also part of the mitzvah re'iyah. Okay, why is the Yerushalmi in Chagiga, Perek Aleph, Halach Aleph, quotes the pasuk, Hato Hares Al Adas, we know it from Superstar, it's a pasuk in Chumash, right? Parashat Eschana, Devarim Perek Dal, pasuk Lamed Hei, 24, Hato Hares Al Adas, Keshem Elokim Erom Miladim, Haresa and Adas, re'iyah and Das. The Gemara has a drosh. Someone who doesn't have das is not chayav and re'iyah. That's how the Karban Eidah is one of the comments. There's no Rashi in the Yerushalmi, so we have other commentaries on the side of the page of Yerushalmi. One is the Karban Eidah. Ator Eishal Adas in 25, ain re'iyah el bar das. He's excluded from the mitzvah of re'iyah. Shalosh pamim yeroa kolzer chokah. The person is excluded from re'iyah because he is not a bar das. That's how the Pnei Moshe. Pnei Moshe is the only commentary we have in the entire Yerushalmi. Covered a couple. Well, now they have Rav Kanievsky. Pnei Moshe is on a holy shalom. Anyway, says there's no re'iyah. Okay, but what exactly is a shota? Right, doesn't have das. What does that mean? So there is an actual interesting mission. Shabbos Kufnun Gimel Al 27. The mission is talking about a case where somebody Misha Hechshik, but there somebody's traveling on Friday coming home. Every couple of years we hear about this. This year we didn't hear about it, but every couple of years there's some big snowstorm on Friday afternoon. People got stuck in the train station with the bus, right? You all remember. I mean, every couple of years there's some major snowstorm. People get stuck trying to get home about for Shabbos, right? It was unexpected. So that's what the Mishnah talks about in Erev. Misha Hechshik Badera. It was about a snowstorm, but someone got stuck. It was getting dark late Friday, and he's got this wallet, this stuff with him. So what is he going to do with it? So it says the Mishnah, give it. He's traveling with a non-Jew that he trusts. Give it to him. And if not, then put it on the back of his animal. You know, this, he wants to transport it himself. So that's the idea. Rashi says, right? But if you can give it to a guy, it's better to give it to a guy than to your animal. That's a technical din because a guy doesn't have to keep Shabbos at all. My animal, it's my animal. The din called Shris is Behemto. It says a dibra, it says, Lo says, right? So I'm not allowed to have my animal do more work for me in Shabbos either. Okay. In the context of that mission, the Gemara in Shabbos, Kufnun Gimel Aleph says, what if I'm traveling with somebody? I have an animal, but I have a goy, whatever, other people, and there's a cheresh shota cotton with me. So who should I give it to? So it's better to put it on the animal than to a cotton or even to a shota cotton, because those cheresh shota, so close over their people. Okay. Now, one could argue, but they're not chayav anyway in Shabbos, right? So it's just the same thing as giving it to a non-Jew and giving it to the animal. That's not the case, the Gemara says. But shota of a cotton, give it to a shota. That's the Gemara's conclusion. Someone's a shota, cotton right now is a chayav, is going to come chayav in a couple of years when he comes to bar mitzvah. She will give it to a shota. Okay, so Rashi explains there in Shabbos Kufnun Gimel Aleph 30, the shota yoyv lesle das klal. That's why shota has no das, where cheresh has died to klishta. Okay, is a weaker das, like we saw in Yevam, as we saw that before. Okay. The Tosefta in Truman's Perek Aleph, Halacha Gimel, now explains what is a shota. So it gives certain manifestations of bizarre behavior that the person doesn't realize is bizarre, doesn't realize it's not the way people behave. So Tosefta mentions, Ezeu shota, hayotzi yechida belaila, wanders around the streets alone at night. Okay. Halom de beis hakoros, goes to sleep in a cemetery. Okay. Karea is ksusi, he has clothes he rips them all the time, rips not the playing ball, he rips it, sliding at the third. It means intentionally rips it, destroys it. Ma'abe mashinosno. You give him something, he breaks it. And so all these things are categories of Shemot. And the Gemara has it there in that same Sugya in Chagiga on Gimel and Beis. Source number 32. Tanarbana Ezer Shota. One, Ayotzi Kribalaila. Two, Balon Reis Akar. So Makarias Kuzo. So Gemara right away has Machokas 1 second. He does all three of these things. Right? All three of these bizarre type of things. There's one enough to label him a Shota. That's the question. Itmar Hunamar. Ajukulam Vasachas. He engages in all these three. He does. He behaves in a completely weird fashion. He engages in all sorts of bizarre behavior. Kerb Yochanan Omar. Rabbi Yochanan Omar. No, Afilab Achas, man. So now the Gemara qualifies. 1 second. Is he doing these things derech shtus? If it's derech shtus, then even one should suffice. If it's not derech shtus, even as all three. Or it says, no, he did it with derech shtus. But what's the idea? Halon be sakvaros, okay? He has some reason. The Gemara gives reasons why he might be able to explain away why he's doing it. It looks to me and to you like it's a bizarre form of behavior, but it's a teretz why he might want to do it. Okay, shetishol ruach tumah. He wants to become Tomei for some reason. He may have a logical reason becoming Tomei. That's why he goes to the Beis HaKvaros. Okay? Or if he's walking around at night, Amor Gandrifas Achte. The Rashi has two different interpretations. You can look in the Rashi in 33. Means you want to go out for fresh air. And live there in a cemetery, so walk through the cemetery. Meaning, what am I trying to say? There might be a logical, no, it doesn't mean he's a Shote. It may not be deranged. It's a little unusual, but there's a rational explanation. Or he mentions the other one? He says, Hamakarias Kuso. He says he's doing it to sort of, he wants to demonstrate the lack of concern for physical, whatever, you know, physical property. It's not necessarily a simon of being a shota. So the point is, though, he engages in bizarre and irrational behavior. But the Gemara distinguishes, does it when there's no real way, no logical way to, and the conclusion of the Shita, you need all three. If you just do one thing and you can explain it away, okay. But if you do several different things that are all bizarre and you have a teretz for every one, it's already too strange, right? This guy, one thing he wants to go out for fresh, he wants to go to cemetery because he wants to learn how to be a magician and contact the Ruach HaTumah. He does all these things. The Gemara compares it to a shore that the gourd, three different types of animals, you know, we consider them a shore for a mood for all things. Okay. Anyway, by the way, the Turi Evan explains, that's the Shagasaga Chagig Gimel Beis in 35, explains Yotzi Echidi Belaila. What do you mean? A lot of us go for a walk at night. You know? What it means is Yotzi Belaila B'Shalom Mokim Yishu. Not in the neighborhood. You walk far away from, out in the boondock someplace, which is not the normal thing to do. Okay. Now that's one of the sugyos. Then the Gemara in Dara Malaf Chagiga adds another thing, which we saw already. Amar Papa Yishmael Erbuna Hadatanya Izel Shota Kala Ma'abze Ma'abed Mashinosnilo. You have to add one of the other things. Okay, another thing is added. He destroys the property he gives. He gives him something, he breaks it. Okay, now, so there's a bit of machlok as we've shown him, because the Gemara doesn't really conclude. They need to manifest all these bizarre behaviors. Even one is enough. The Rosh, there in Chulin, actually, in Perak Aleph, Siman Dalet, 38, the Rosh writes, he quotes this and he says, even if you do one of these things and you don't offer a logical interpretation, it's done derek shtus, that's enough to label you a shot already. The Rambam has interesting lesson again there in Hilchos Eidus in Perek Tes 39. The Rambam says, I showed the apostle of Jeno Ben Mitzvahs and so on. And he says, don't think, he gives all kinds of examples, not the examples of Gemara. He says, the guy walks around with no clothes on, walks outside naked, okay, walks out with no clothes on. Or Mishaber Kalin, he throws rocks, again, bizarre, irrational behavior.
Rocks, people.
Right, throw things, whatever, at other people, at other places, or just in general, yeah, all these things. The Rambam says, don't think you have to do those things. Ela kol mishraf misha nitrafa daito. These are just examples. It doesn't mean you have to do those things. Anything which nimse daito mishubesh is tamid bidavar min hadvarim. He regularly behaves in a way that's bizarre. Okay, even though it's bidavar min hadvarim, even though it's one thing, it looks like. Or is it possible shotim yichoshu is considered to be like a shota? The case of Mishnah, not Rambam, in source number 40, sounds that since the Rambam used the expression davar min hadvarim, davar is singular, davar min hadvarim, says the case of Mishnah on the fourth line of 40, there in Perek Tes, he said, even if it's one thing, okay? But he says, it's dafka b'davar l'derek shtus. He thinks the Ram means the guy doesn't just do this once. One time he did something strange. A lot of us do strange things once. It means the person regularly behaves this way. Regularly does it. He could be only one thing, but he regularly does this thing. Okay, but he says that's why the Rambam didn't bring any of the examples the Gemara gave. The Gemara gave a specific example, right? The Gemara said, slept in a cemetery, wandered around. The Rambam didn't bring those examples. So the Kesher Mishnah, why? Because the Rambam wants to say, those are just examples. Those are examples of unusual behavior. A person regularly engages, according to the Kesher Mishnah, understanding of the Rambam, a person engages in one irregular behavior, he does it all the time, or does it frequently, that already labels him a shota, there's no rational explanation for it. Yes.
Is that like compared to a diagnosis?
So again, Ram is telling us what the diagnosis is. But a diagnosis will usually come because the therapist, whatever, has seen that this behavior manifests itself. So he'll diagnose him with a particular diagnosis. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So what happens if someone is belly, gets married and they, don't get married let's say someone gets married and you don't want to get married, so you have a wife and then you separate because
so we'll have to see a little bit. That's a specific, I can't do all the specific questions, but I'll be happy to talk to you. We'll see a little bit later when the Kedushin counts. It was a famous case, we'll come to in a moment. Hold the thought. Yeah. Let's see, hold the thought a little bit. Yeah, although it's a good question. Wow. Okay, the Beis Yosef. Written by the same author, of course, the Kesef Mishnah, there in Eben Ezra and Kuf Chaf Aleph in Ozvav, he says again, you could have a person, Simon Ashota, Shumidaber Vishal Be'inyan Vishar Dvarim. He might be able to converse or discuss things in certain areas, but in other areas, his behavior is bizarre. So that's going to be puzzle. And he says, according to the Rambam, he didn't mention any of the examples because those are just examples, we said. And therefore, he says, even if you do one of the things, you're already labeled as a shota. The Shagas Aryeh, in source 42, writes in the Tshuva Nosofos and Beis, the Shagas Aryeh, there's a famous case in his time, in the 1700s, called the Get from Cleves, the city in Europe. Basically, the Shagas explains a little bit about it. We'll say it outside to say in a few minutes. But there was a man who got married, and shortly after the wedding, he ran out to the forest and he behaved strangely. He went without his clothes on and so on and so forth. And they realized something wrong here. So they went to Cleves, okay. And the Besdin there, supervisor, gave it. The wife didn't want to, obviously something not what she signed up for, right? And he ran out and behaved in this unusual fashion. And he gave a get. The question is the get valid? Let's go back. Was the Kedushin valid? But at the time of the Kedushin, it seemed like everything was okay. Then something happens that triggers things in people. So that's the same story the get from Klebs, where the poskim discussed whether the get was valid or not. This was the case. The person became a shota. And that's a question. People made a fuss. How did that rov in the town authorize the get without investigating and so on? Maybe the person was mentally incapacitated. We have even in America, I think, when a person leaves a will, right, being a lawyer, being of sound mind and sound body, such an expression, right? Sound mind and sound body, you have to be of sound mind. Sometimes they challenge. Sometimes in America also, they challenge a will or a contract someone drew up because he was already, or she was already very old and didn't know his wits about them. Sometimes the family tricks the person. We have a case like that in American courts also, where they're not sure that the person was of sound mind. So obviously, it's important when executing any kind of a contractual arrangement that the person knows what they're doing in any legal system. Anyway, that's a shock. He also understood the Rambam that way, the way we mentioned it also. So again, I'm not going to go into the whole get of Cleves. Again, you're welcome to keep these sources and look into these matters further. He wants to suggest that, he suggests a chilek, and maybe with certain types of deranged behavior, even one time should suffice. To label him a shota, the tour in Chalosh Mishpat Simon Lamed Hey, in those tests, right? Shul shota apostle ahayit, okay. And even if you do only one thing, the preacher also the commentary on the tour there in those tests in Lamed Hey, source 44 also says like that, and many understand that, okay. The Divrei Chaim 45 was the Sansa wrote, the famous Sansa dynasty of Chaim Halberstam, and the big Hasidus come the Baba and the Zachmer from the Halberstam family. So Divrei Chaim was one of the Gedolei Hasidus. So we have tshuvas from him, Chelek Eben Ezer, Chelek Aleph Siman Nun Gimel. He says, you know, even if we don't do anything, we can see, and we come back to you now with a diagnosis, especially if it can tell. You can see the person's not behaving normal. I didn't do any of the exact things which the Gemara discusses. He said, but we see. He doesn't rip his clothes. He says, you look and you can see. So sometimes you need professionals to make the diagnosis, but he understands that you don't need to have the exact things which the Gemara discusses. Yeah.
Sometimes
doctors mess up. That's true, too. Okay, good point. Very good aura. Yor Sameach, one of his tshuvas, also seems to look like that in the Kutim Simeon Gimel. Okay. But the tshuvas Rashbo, Chelek Aleph Siman Tovshin Samech Hey, sometimes you see that the person, you know, in certain areas is competent, others are not competent. But I do want to stress that not everybody agrees with the Rambam that the Gemara is just giving examples. Okay, some say the Mordechai, for example, in 48 in Gittin, and Rambam Sechet in Gittin, Rambam Tavchav Aleph, he says, "Im lo huchzak shote bedvarim ha'murim beperkam lechagika harei kepikeach." He says, "No, the Gemara meant what the Gemara said. Those are the things, whatever the reason the Gemara said, labels your shoulder. You don't do those things, even though in other areas you may engage in bizarre behavior." The Mordechai said, "But that's not what the Gemara said." So he takes the Gemara more literally. Okay, the Maharik, Rabbi Yosef Kolom, one of the later Rishonim that the Ramo quotes all the time in 49, Simon Yud Tes, Jewish Maharik, he writes also, he quotes it, he doesn't at the end agree, but he quotes Rabbi Meir from Würzburg, he writes, "Im lo huksuk shota bedvorim ha'murim bepar kamen chagiga harayu kepikeach l'chodovak." I mean, the pikeach means, you know, regular normal person. So again, you see among the Rishonim and among the Poskim, you know, there's some lack of clarity. The Beis Yosef also, despite what we saw earlier, in some Kufya Yudtes, Ozvav and Ebenezer, we saw Kufya Malak before, but in 50, he says, Rabbeinu Simcha Mishpira, because of the low Matzakina Mechezke Shote, you know, Ligarish Acherobo Simone Shtus Hamafuroshim Beper Kamachagika. So they say, no, the Gemara knew what they were talking about. They witnessed such people. They saw, so they gave specific examples and other things, what we may consider bizarre behavior. So I would say, you know, a lot of us do things that other people might find strange from time to time. That doesn't label the Shote, just what the Gemara says. Okay, how do we paskin? So Shulchan Aruch paskin like the Rambam, not surprisingly. Milchus Eidus, Shulchan Mishpat, Simon Lamed Hey, Sivches, he says, these are all just examples. He basically quotes the Rambam verbatim. So you look in 51, it's basically the language of the Rambam, Hichos Eidus Perek Tes, that, you know, you do these things, you throw rocks, you rip your garments, all these things, and you do this regularly, any type of thing, not just those things. Those are just examples. And the Rambam doesn't pipe up. Very often the Rambam disagrees. He'll tell you that I hold the other way. He doesn't say anything. Adi Rambam, elsewhere in the Darkei Moshe and Eben Ezer, in Simen Kuf Yud Tes, he quotes in the Rambam, seems the Rambam agrees. Although, it's interesting, because you look at Hilchos Shechita, okay, Simen Aleph, Kashrus, okay, Simen Aleph, Sif Hei, 53, here he writes, Cheresh, She'eno Medaber, Eino Shomei, Eino Shomei, Eino Shomei, right, he gives the examples. And what examples does he give? The examples of Mor Chagiga. So here, the Mechaber in Hilchos Shechita, in Yoredeya, Simen Aleph, seems to say the specific examples of the Gemara. In Choshen Mishpat, he said, it's those a lav dafke. He said, like the Rambam. In Yoredeya, he gives the same specific examples of the Gemara. And he writes, Apilu ba'achas melu. As long as he does one of them, Derek Shus. Again, we saw one regularly. He already discounts such a person's shechita. It's not valid. So the Mepharshim is sensitive to that. A little bit of a steer, the Darkei Tshuva from the Munkacher, there in Yoredeya, Sinalap, Sukkot, and Kufn, and Beis in 54. He says he means Lav Davki, he's only giving an example. We follow what he says in Hilchos and Chosin Mishpat. And not here, these are just examples. And he says at the end also, like the Divrei Chaim said, on a Rohan, Shemidaber, Bebilbul, Vashigon. You see, the person talks, he talks nonsense. He doesn't say anything, he says things that make no sense.
Okay?
Right. Huh? Yeah, babbling, right? Gibberish, babbling, right? Bilbul is babbling, same idea, right? So there's such a person you consider to be a Shota, the Beis Shmuel. In Kuf Chav Aleph, that's in Eben Ezer. He's one of those commentaries on the side of the page in Eben Ezer 55. He says, Lav Dafka Hani Simon, you don't need only these. Dugma, they brought as example. The Shach in Yoredeya, The Gartner Chav Gimel says the same thing. First of all, he says, Eina kavana bepam achas. It's none of these things if you did it once. Okay, it means it does it regularly. Shadarko bekah. But Gartner also says like that, although he quotes others say no even one time. And he says, as far as Shechita is concerned, Nachon lehachmer. Okay, some Sofer also says, some say even bepam achas. That same true in Chelek Dalet Simon Beis. However, the Sma says, no, I'll prove you to the Rambam. I'll prove to you for the Rambam that it means, and the Shulchan Aruch, that it means regularly, because that's the language of the Rambam. You can look in 51, back on the top of the page, there in Echal Shem Mishra, Tzim Lamed Hei, Sif Hei, Tiv Ches, I mean, it says, Kol Mishra Nitra V'Daito, V'Nitra Daito Mishrabeshes, Tamid. What does Tamid mean? Always, regularly, okay? So don't tell me it's once. That's how the Sma is the diet. Tamid means it's not just a Fuke, Bakroi, Alma. That's how they begin to say, Abishas and the crazy also right. Eze Pamim, several times, on Pam Achas, low. All right, again, others disagree, but the Abbas of Ephraim says, because lots of people might have been set off by something. Some day when you're in a bad mood, something terrible happened, something got you angry. So you do something you ordinarily wouldn't do. That's the Abbas of Ephraim and his Chubas, Ebenezer Simon Peitas said, you can't say because one time. Every human being does something bizarre one time, especially, you know, you're triggered by something, something upsets you. So you may do something you would never do. Okay, whatever, you can make the case up to yourself. And then you go back to normal right after that. So that's why these posts can assume it's got to be more than just one time. Now, what about other areas that we didn't really discuss? We talked about Eidos, we talked about Shechita. What about other areas? So it's important to note that the Maharil is important Ashkenazi posek, Yaakov Levy, that's a Maharil since Yaakov Levy. Sometimes you see him called Maharil Segel. Siegel's a Levy. Most people name Siegel a Levy because Siegel is a Rosh Hashanah, Sgan Lakoin. So a lot of people name Siegel a Levium because, anyways, it was called Maharil Segel, Maharil. So in the Sim Kuf Tzadi Vav, he was an Ashkenazi posik. In Breuers, they followed the Maharils in Argon very tightly, very, very carefully. I think the Maharil was also a Chazan. And I think that I once heard that some of the standard Nusach Ashkenaz that we use was composed by the Maharil. I'm not sure if I know 100% right, but like for example, the Yontif, you say, you know, that Nusach, I think, was from Maharil. And Yom Noraim, you know, Magen Aron, I think some of that stuff was in the Maharil. Anyway, an important posik in his Tshuva, Sim Kuf Tzadivav, he writes, he mentioned that even though the person, he talks, what if a person has a child who's a Cheresh Shoter called the Yotze Puruhu? Right? So he said, absolutely, the person has an neshama. He lacks a certain da'as, but he's considered a Jew in many other areas. Okay? And the Prima Gadim in that same Psicha Kolel, Chelek Beis Oz Gimel 63, right? Tfilin. So there's a psul in the tfilin, but he's in other areas considered a Gavra Bar Chiyuva. Look at the language on the third line of 63. Bikom Malkum B'nei Mitzvahs Havim. In a certain sense, even a Cheresh is a Ben Mitzvah. Certain things disqualified from it. It doesn't mean the person disqualified from everything. And Reb Chaim, Chaim Abrisker, Chaim Alevi, yeah.
What is the difference
between Tipush and Achilles? We haven't mentioned Tipush at all. We only spoke of Cheresh and Shota, which is the only thing that's in the Mishnah. They don't use the word Tipush, they use the word Pesi. Okay, and the Chassam Sofer, you're previewing, segue, look down for a second at 68. Chassam Sofer is bothered in that, in Tshuva, Chelek Dalet, Simon Beis, and Ebenezer, 68. Gam Yeshu Smoa, my time alohuzka b'shas, b'shum mokom din hapsoim. Sorry, like a Tipush. Tom Sofer wonders, why isn't that dealt with in the Gemara? So he was bothered by the same problem you are. Now, where exactly the line drawn there? Okay, he doesn't give. Now, the answer is such a person is considered to be Chaim in Mitzvahs. Okay? Now, Reb Chaim, in Reb Chaim Brisker, in Hilchos Korban Pesach, Perek Hei, Alok Hazayin, the Rambam, right, that they are included in certain things. So, for example, they're Chereshot, they're cut, and they're exempt from some things, but they're not Mufka from Mitzvahs altogether. So I would say now, at this point, that whereas I said before, Cheresh, you know, perhaps someone who has what we call Down syndrome, a form of mental retardation, okay, a Shot is a person with some form of autism. I think that the examples that the Gemara gives, the person runs outside, you know, where there's nobody living, or wants to sleep in a cemetery, means that they're not aware of their surroundings. Many, and again, autism has tremendous, tremendous range, okay? But many people who have to have the severe cases of autism, they're not aware of what's going on around them, or at least we can tell. And they'll talk, you have to watch out that they're walking to the street, okay, when they won't notice traffic, they won't pay attention, you know, to the fact that their car is coming, right? They're, again, my son is on the autistic spectrum, and he's very careful. He walks all over by himself, Baruch Hashem. You know, so there's a tremendous, he goes to shul by himself in the morning. You know, so there's a tremendous range. That's why I call it the spectrum, you know, the better, no better diagnosis. But so I stressed that all along. But people with severe autism, you know, again, are very often, that's why I think the examples that Gemara gives, you know, that they tear their clothes, they break things, they're not aware of their surroundings. Okay, so maybe that's what would fall into the category of Shota from this. But even there are included in some, to some extent, in the realm, you know, of mitzvahs to some extent. And you asked about a tipesh, what the Gemara calls psayim. Some sofer that I showed you in 68. Look back in 65. The Rambam does mention it. It's not in the Gemara, it's true, but the Hilchos Eidos Perek Tes Alach Yud, ha-psayim biyoser. She'ein makir v'dvarim she'sosin zev al-yavino, and so on and so forth. V'chein ha-mebu'ahim, they're confused, and they're mixed up, and so on. They're considered to be like shotim. That's what the Rambam says, those kinds of psayim. But notice his language is upsoin be yoser. Shulchan Aruch also says in Hilchos Eidos Siman Lamed Hey, so if you had the same thing. Now the Sma on the side of the page in Shulchan Aruch and Choshen Mishpat Siman Lamed Hey Asukot Mechavalav says Bezeu Achiluk Bein Pesi L'Shota. What's the difference then between Pesi and Shota? So the Sma explains Shoshota Daito Him Shubeshes Umutarefes Legamri B'Dovar Min Hadvarim. Okay, he's completely what we call the out of it in some areas at least. A Pesi, he's not mature for Gamri. He just in some areas is worse. Okay, in some ways is worse than a Shota, because a Shota can be fine in some areas, but completely out of in other areas. A Pesi is not out of in any area, but he's weak in all areas. You know what I'm saying? In other words, he's not completely disoriented in any area. Sometimes you have, again, it's a derogatory expression. I'm just going to use it for teaching. You have people what's called idiot savants. Okay, an idiot savant is somebody who's autism, but they can multiply three digit numbers in their heads. In their heads. Right? In 2 seconds. My son can't do that. I'm saying you have to have an excellent memory, but for other things. But you know, there are people who can do it. You've seen people.
Can I give an example? I have a friend in the whiteboard.
Yeah.
He has a memory of like anything you could tell him or ask him, like within the year.
Right.
And the name of the
president. Right, so I'm saying, so some areas are very sharp. My son was not that extreme in either area, not extremely, but he can. If we have a family simcha, we ask, you know, when was your cousin, your cousin, the Yecheski's bar mitzvah? It was April 2014. I don't remember. You know, so there are people who can do that. But they can do more. They can multiply digits. I mean, they can multiply, you know, three-digit numbers by three-digit numbers in their head. You know, they can classify and remember years and dates and so on, or presidents. They can do that. That's what I'm saying. I mean, a Pesi does not stand out in any of those areas. On the other hand, he's not completely out of it in any area. So that's what the Sma says. Again, you have to look at each case by itself. Okay. Also, the base of Ephraim and Shuva and Ebenezer and Petos. What are we finished? You know, we'll find out. Okay. Sorry to bother. Just find out. Now we're off. We started late. I don't know what time it was to figure out. But I don't know. Hold on.
4:15. But
what time is it now?
Oh,
he said oh okay. But they said 4:15?
They said 4:15.
But that was originally before the maybe want to check out maybe want to check out something. Okay, I'm sorry, but I don't want to keep everybody trapped here. The door show could be we're all night. I mean, it's a long subject. But anyway, the base of Ephraim and Ebenezer when pay test also makes a chilek between does a person do bizarre things or just talks in a bizarre way. That might be different. Also, maybe he just says silly things, babbling and then saying things don't make sense, but he doesn't do anything. So that's also. That's also cool. Okay.
Looks like everyone else finished up.
So. Oh my lord. Okay. All right. I said we want to get to. Let me just go through a couple of things I think are important. So we'll wrap up. I don't want to miss the other things, but I call your attention. I won't read inside the Maharit in 73. Chelek Avodah Siman Tazayin talks about that Rambam, and he says, "Let's remember." I pointed out to you before. Let's remember your question. The Rambam, he mentions, maybe the Rambam was distinguishing Hilchos Eidos in other areas. Eidos, to testify in court, you have to be sure of what you saw. So that might be a different level of understanding. It doesn't mean you're a shota for all other mitzvahs. It means you're posel Eidos. Because, you know, Eidos, well, you've all seen, you know, maybe some of your lawyers, you've all seen, they'll try and trap you and ask you, were you sure it was like this? The guy, whatever. You know, and then you mix up. They try to mix you up. Even people not a show, the defense attorney tries to question in such a way, you know, that does mix you up, right? So there's perhaps a difference. The number of people made, so I quote a number of Acharon, Sharon Acharon will have that chilek you know, in terms of, you know, in terms of, in terms of edus, that might make a difference. I do want to show you, if you just skip for a second to the, you know, to the back page. Yeah, I do want to show you a couple other things very quickly. And I'm sorry for holding it over, but and there's some people who are not, you know, they say that. Okay, let's look at that. But I do want to show you the end. Let's go over to 84. Okay. Again, a lot of the people I quoted here, Apostle Eidos, some people say no, but it's not just Eidos, it's all areas. Okay, that Pnigadim says like that, and if for less, 81, Tzemach Tzedek, the old Tzemach Tzedek, Matan Labavitch, Tzemach Tzedek, said it in Ayin Zayin. Okay, and it's interesting, take a look at 83, Chubas Yehuda Yala, to Yura Asad, Helik Beis, Helik Ebenezes, and Choshe Mishpat, Simon Tzadi Gimel. He says, we can't make the distinction. He says, it's just like a cotton. We started before, Cheresh and Shoto was lumped together with cotton, right? A cotton, it doesn't matter, he could be a genius. He could be 12 years old and Mamish are genius, but he's still under bar mitzvah. He can't lane. So we don't make a chiluk. So Yehuda Yala says, okay, but if a person is labeled a Shota, good, he might be competent in this area. But once he's labeled a Shota, it doesn't matter. Just like a cotton, it doesn't matter what his, you know, halachically is Eina Bar Das. Really interesting approach. Okay. In terms of certain mitzvahs, this is what I'll finish off with. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Did you ever come to a distinction of the das required for
kedushin
versus
kiddush? Yeah, so it's interesting because the some of the poskim did mention kedushin. I have it here, so I have to figure out which is it, where is it now. That they will allow the kedushin, they'll allow it, you know, even a limited das, as long as it understands basically and getting and even chalitza. The post, I have it in the sources, it's possibly skipped over. I apologize, but I do want to show it's more nogay, or I certainly has nogay. Okay, but I'll show you afterwards. We'll look for the sources. But I don't see it now, but I'll find it. I do have it in the sources. But I do want to show you what the Shulchan Aruch says. Okay, there are more rights in Or Chaim's and Kuf Tzadi Tess. If you, there are more rights. Chayor Shoshote im mechavnim umevina mitzafim lezimun. You can count it to mezumin. Okay, you can count them to mezumim, even though he may not be able to hear it, doesn't understand. As long as he has a general knowledge, okay, that's what it passes in the Shulchan Aruch. And the Bir Halacha writes in Siman Nun Hey, same thing with the minyan. Okay, so I might not put this person on a bezin. I have a person in my shul. Okay, my son has autism. He's a young man who was 39 with Down syndrome. Okay, he's one of the gabayim in the shul. He understands everything. We didn't give him the job because we felt sorry for him. We gave him the job because he's good at it. Okay, he's really good. He knows when we take out two Sifrei Torah, he knows what the Daf Shach is. He's very good in this area. He's a little hard to understand sometimes when he talks, but okay. And this, so you know, there's no doubt that he has das. Okay, so he's an excellent gamma. And he's not going to be here for Shabbos. He emails the chief gamma. I'm not going to be in the shop. He's very, very responsible. You know, so, and we do count him. We count my son for a minyan also. He knows how to daven. He knows how to put on tefillin. We were very nervous with my son with tefillin because he has certain sensory issues. How's he going to take the tefillin? Baruch Hashem never missed a day. He goes to shul by himself. Goes to 6:30 minyan. I don't get up that early. He goes to 6:30 minyan. You know, I daven the yeshiva. But he goes, you know, so again, every case is different, which leads me to the source on the back page 88, the Shevet Sofer. He talks about his father, Chassam Sofer, that he took him to a school in Vienna for the hearing impaired. That's what he talks about. And he says, once they showed him what they were able to do, and that comes now to modern means of educating, he says, you have to go by tefillin for all the Jews here. They're not potter. The whole definition changes. It's a beferish, Shevet Sofer, evidence to Mechof off the back page, Siman 88. He says, Bikesh Mehamorim Sham Likacham Tfilin, Shenichosam. Because now the whole assumption was they couldn't be educated. Now you see they can be educated, at least at some level. So he felt they're not considered popular. The Rashash also speaks about that place. Okay, so the Tzitz Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer of Waldenberg, who was the Posek in Yerushalayim and the Posek B'Shaari Tzedek Hospital. I quoted a couple of tunes from him, and he speaks about in 91, as Chelek Tetzvav Siman Aleph, was Gimel, in 92, Chelek Yedalat Sin Samach Tes. He speaks about such people that their status changed once they can get educated. He speaks of in 92 regarding the talk about the Kiddushin, I think, you know, about a woman, you know, she goes to Shul every Shabbos. You can read the Shul yourself. Holechas of Eskneses, Berch Alapas, Berch HaSamozon, knows the Shabbos and Kashas and Tarfas and so on. Just her Seichel is Kesechel Shel Tinok Bar Zion to Yud Shel Lekas. Seichel like a 7 to 10 year old. Okay, they're not a mature adult, but she has that now. So therefore, the certainly a chiyuv to you know to treat them. Reb Moshe Weinstein also writes the true Eben Ezer, El Gimel Simon Lamed Gimel talks about a person communicating via sign language or through a machine. Okay, so he says all these things have to be taken into account to consider a person a pikeach. There, Shlomo Zalman Arbach, 94, Chelak Aleph and Shuvas Minchas Shlomo Simon Lamed Dalad, Chereshon Lamed Ladaber. He learned how to speak. Okay, so he quotes as a tshuva he had to Ruchaim Scheinberg, two big postman Scheinberg, Shlomo Zalman Arbach and Ruchaim Scheinberg. That's what the tshuva was written to. It's near the Chol Shul Maven, the Eishlo Das Kamo Putos. As long as he has some Das, like a youngster, like a kid, okay, but he understands about Bracha as a kid, a 5-year-old also understands it. Certainly a 10-year-old, the person has that knowledge. Yodea Shakarish Baruch Hu Nosol Torah, but Ruchaim Mitzos, he understands that there's a Kodesh Baruch Hu, we have to keep Mitzos and observe Torah, and so on and so forth. Shapir Choshev Bardas Linyan Kiyama Mitzos. Okay, he writes this, and he writes that he discussed this also with his with son-in-law Royashiv. Okay, and he agreed. Hiskamnu l'dabar echad shadina kipikeach. Okay, and Rabbi Adi Yosef also writes like that in the Tshuva Chavadas Kala Beis Simon Bom. Hayotz Midrainer Abosai. You have to consider, in my opinion, each case individually. There's no one diagnosis, and certainly today, when there have been improvements in communication and how people can be educated. You know, I mean, I have no doubt that that my son is chayav and mitzvah that he can do, okay? Because he understands what I wouldn't put him on a bezin to for a chalitza, okay? I mean, he doesn't understand that. But the brachas and Shabbos and you know, and so on, he understands, and he understands what he's doing, understands very well, you know, Jewish calendar and Shabbos and Yontif. On the other hand, there are people who don't, so you have to figure out in each case. You come back, that's you got to get a diagnosis. But as someone else points out, the doctors don't always get it right, that's for sure. So in each case, you have to look into what the circumstances. Again, it's just intended as an overview. You're welcome to hold on to your sheets and to look further into it. I just wanted to give you some insight. Okay.